diminishes. Tam, him, bhuta nilayam, original source of all living entities. Devam, supreme personality of Godhead. Suparnam, who accompanies the living entity as a friend. Upadhavata, everyone should worship. Translation, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Super Soul, who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. Report offering prayers to Krishna, Srimati Kunti Devi, the mother of the Pandavas, said, Alaksham sarva bhutanam antar bahir avastatam. Krishna, you reside both inside and outside everything, yet the unintelligent conditioned souls cannot see you. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead through jnana chakshusha, eyes of knowledge. He who opens these eyes of knowledge is called a spiritual master. Thus we offer our prayers to the spiritual master with the following sloka. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chaksur Amilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master, who with the torchlight of knowledge has opened my eyes, which were blinded by the darkness of ignorance. Gautamiya Tantra. The guru's task is to open the disciple's eyes of knowledge. When the disciple is awakened from ignorance to knowledge, you can see the Supreme Personality of God everywhere, because the Lord actually is everywhere. Andantara stop paramanu chayantarastam. The Lord resides within this universe. He resides within the hearts of all living entities, and he resides even within the atom. Because we lack perfect knowledge, we cannot see God, but a little deliberation can help us to see God everywhere. This requires training. With a little deliberation, even the most degraded person can perceive the presence of God. If we take into account whose property is the vast ocean, whose property is the vast land, how the sky exists, how the numberless millions of stars and planets are set in the sky, who has made this universe and whose property it is, we should certainly come to the conclusion that there is a proprietor of everything. When we claim proprietorship over a certain piece of land, whether individually or for our families or nations, we should also consider how we become the proprietors. The land is there before our birth, before we came to the land. How did it become our property? Such deliberation will help us understand that there is a supreme proprietor of everything, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Supreme Godhead is always awake in the conditioned stage. We forget things because we change our bodies, but because the Supreme Personality of Godhead does not change his body, he remembers past, present, and future. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Imam Divasvaste Yogam Proktavan Aham Avyayam. I spoke the science of God, Bhagavad Gita, to the sun god at least 40 million years ago. When Arjuna inquired from Krishna how he could remember instances that had been taken place so long ago, the Lord answered that Arjuna was also present at that time. Because Arjuna is Krishna's friend, wherever Krishna goes, Arjuna goes. But the difference is that Krishna remembers everything, whereas a living entity like Arjuna, being a minute particle of the Supreme Lord, forgets. Therefore, it is said, the Lord's vigilance is never diminished. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead and his Paramatma features always present within the hearts of all living entities, and from him come memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. This is also indicated in this verse by the word Suparnam, which means friend. In Svetasvatara Upanishad, it is therefore said, Dva Suparna Sayuja Sakaya Samanam Priksham. Two birds are sitting in the same tree as friends. One bird is sitting, eating the fruit of the tree. The other is simply observing. This observing bird is always present as the friend to the eating bird and giving him remembrance of things he wanted to do. Thus, if we take into account the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our daily affairs, we can see him, or at least perceive his presence everywhere. The words chakshur yasya na rishyati mean that although we cannot see him, this does not mean that he cannot see us, nor does he die when the cause of manifestation is annihilated. The example is given in this connection that the sunshine is present when the sun is present, but when the sun is not present, or when we cannot see the sun, this does not mean that the sun is lost. The sun is there, but we cannot see it. Similarly, although we cannot see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in our present darkness, our lack of knowledge, he is always present, seeing our activities. And as the Paramatma, he is the witness and advisor, Upadrasta and Anumanta. Therefore, by following the instructions of the spiritual master and studying authorized literatures, one can understand that God is present before us, seeing everything, although we have no eyes with which to see him. Translation: although the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly watches the activities of the world, no one sees him. However, one should not think that because no one sees him, he does not see, for his power to see is never diminished. Therefore, everyone should worship the Super Soul who always stays with the individual soul as a friend. So, here is an order or a command given to approach and worship the Supreme Lord. And then the reasons are given. Please worship the Supreme Lord because he is Bhuta Nilayam Devam Suparnam, etc. The person who sees everything but cannot be seen. One cannot see him. Yam pasyati na pasyantam. He sees you, but you cannot see him. And his eyes, yasya chaksur narishyati, his eyes are never diminished, they're never destroyed. Which means he's always seeing. In this way, we have reasons given in the particular verse why we should worship the Lord. The simple reason is Bhuta Nilayam. He is the shelter and source of everything, all living entities, everything in the material world. He is the source, he is the cause, he is the shelter of everything. So he's the number one originator of everything. So that's a simple concept which is present in many religions of the world. God is the creator of everything. Therefore, we have to worship him. So he's supreme. Devam. Of course, we know devatas are there also, devas, which means they're like heavenly beings. But the origin of the word deva is div, divyati, which means several things. One, it means playing. So div means one who plays, one who doesn't have to work, he just plays all the time. So in other words, the Lord who performs pastimes. When we say pastimes, it means he's doing it just not because of any particular reason that I need something out of this particular act. So that's a pastime. So the Lord is doing it for his pleasure, not because he has to do it for some other reason. So deva means one who plays. He is not dependent on any others. And the other meaning of div is to shine, divyati. So that's where we get things like divyaganam, shining knowledge, transcendental knowledge, divyati. So the Lord actually is deva. He is the number one person who performs pastimes, and he is the one that shines and gives light to everything else. Secondarily, the devatas are there. They're also called deva. because compared to us, they shine also and they do things that we cannot do. So devatas are secondarily called devas, and the Lord is the original deva. Of course, in this way, we can take all the names of the devatas and say they're actually names of the Supreme Lord. And this is exactly what the Brahma Sutras say. All the names in the Vedas are names of God. So we have Agni, which is fire. But what is the meaning of fire? The root of that is Ni, which means to lead. So number one leader is Supreme Lord. Agni is a secondary leader. Or Indra. Indra is the king. So the highest king is Krishna. He is the supreme Indra. Shiva means auspicious. So the supreme auspicious person is Krishna. So we can take all the names and of all the devatas, and actually, if you say the original, the highest form of that devata is the Supreme Lord. So Madhvacharya actually takes the Vedas and he says, actually, the Vedas are not describing worship of devatas. They're actually describing primarily worship of the Supreme Lord, secondarily the devatas. So whenever mentions a devata name, he says, this actually means Vishnu. So, in this way, the names of the Lord are secondarily reflected in the names of the devatas. Of course, we have a simpler way of doing that. We have Krishna Das or Chaitanya Das, so we just give a name of the Lord and say Das after it. So in the same way, the devatas are Dasas, and they have the name of the Lord also, but they're Dasas. So, therefore, the number one person who plays, who has pastimes, is Supreme Lord, not dependent on anyone. And he is the illuminator and shining one, full of all wonderful qualities and all knowledge. Therefore, he is Deva. So we do not have all of these wonderful qualities. We have imperfections. We are affected by gunas in the material world. We possess material bodies with material qualities, covered by ignorance. So we cannot say we are divya, having all sorts of wonderful knowledge and qualities. It's all imperfect. Nevertheless, we aspire for all these things. So we should worship the Supreme Lord because he is the embodiment of all wonderful qualities and knowledge. And the third thing here is Suparnam, which literally means beautiful wings, which refers to a bird. So he is the bird. So actually, this is in reference to Shruti again, just like we had the verse, previous verse, which was a reference to the Isopanishad verse. So here we have Suparnam. So this makes a reference to many verses in the Upanishads that talk about two birds in a tree and their friends. So therefore, when we have the word Suparnam, it refers to the Paramatma, who's the friend of the Jiva. So in that description in the Upanishads, we have two birds in the tree, and they are friends. They are similar, and therefore friends. But one bird is eating the fruit of the tree, the other bird is looking at him. So the one bird who eats the fruit is the jiva. He is trying to enjoy in the material world. The tree is his body. The other bird is looking only. He's not enjoying the fruit of the tree. He does not involve himself in the material activities of his material body, which accrue karma. He's completely separate. So though they are similar, because they're both birds, also different in their capacity. So the Supreme Lord, as a bird, takes no part in the activities of the material world, though he's living in the body. He resides in the body, but he does not try to get enjoyment out of the material body and do activities to get that enjoyment. But the jiva does. The other bird does. So that is the difference. So Prabhupada here mentions that there were two functions of this Paramatma feature. Anyone remember those functions? He was the witness, upadrashta, and the anumanta, the permitter. So he is seeing everything. So he has all knowledge of everything and all jivas and their actions and their desires and everything. So he's sitting there as the bird in the tree witnessing everything. And permitter, sanctioner of everything, anumanta. Which means nothing happens unless the Lord permits it. So we can say, well, then what is the free will of the jiva? If the Lord has to do everything and say, you can do this and this, then the jiva wants to do something, what is his free will? Free will is that the Lord allows him to do everything within certain limits. Yeah? So he allows him, if you want to do this, do this. You want to do that. He permits it. How does he limit him? He limits in different ways. One is results. You can do the activity, you may not get the result. This is karma, law of karma. So you can work, but you may not get any money. You may or you may not, according to karma. So in this way, there's some limit. Connected to that is that every jiva has a material body. That material body is by karma, and it sets limits on the jiva. So, the human being can want to do anything, but he cannot do everything. He cannot fly in the air by himself. Birds can do so, we cannot. So we can have the desire, but we are limited because of body, which is because of karma. So again, limitation because of karma. So therefore, we have desires, and to some degree we can fulfill it, but there's also the limitation of karma. So due to good karma, we can get intelligence. With that intelligence, we can invent airplanes and helicopters. Then we can fly. But we're limited. We cannot do it on our own. We have to pay money and do this and that and get on an airplane and endeavor to make better airplanes that don't crash or whatever. So limitation is still there. So the Lord is the permitter, but there's also the law of karma, which limits how much we can fulfill our desires. So, in this way, the Lord has control. So what is this control based on? Just, I want to control everybody? No. It's based on his knowledge, because he's the witness. Because he knows everything about the jiva, then he will very justly allot karma in such a way to help each jiva. So it's for the benefit of the jiva. Because he knows everything about the jiva, then he permits according to certain restrictions for the benefit of the jiva. So therefore, he's always looking after the benefit. Therefore, he is the friend. So therefore, this bird is the friend because he is the permitter and he is the knower and he's acting for the benefit of the jiva. He fulfills his desires, but according to certain limitations to help the jiva. So therefore, he is the friend. A friend that helps you go to hell is not a good friend. Just fulfills all your desires and let you go to hell? No, not a friend. And you stay there forever? No. So he's looking for the benefit of the jiva. So he knows everything, and then he makes plans on how to educate the jivas for their benefit. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is the all-powerful one, being materially the source of everything, at the same time being the most knowledgeable and full of wonderful pastimes and bliss, and he's also the friend of the living entity. So why we shouldn't worship him? If we respect and worship him, then we can develop similar qualities. We can develop bliss like the Lord's bliss. We can develop knowledge like the Lord's knowledge. We can develop that friendship with the Supreme Lord. So in this way, we get great benefit from that. So the first two lines actually expand upon this idea of the Supreme Lord, who is the witness and permitter of everything. People cannot see him. though he is with every living entity. Why we cannot see him? He can see us, we can't see him. So we're not actually equal. Two birds are in the tree. Jiva bird cannot see the Supreme Lord. Supreme Lord can see the Jiva. Why? Because the Jiva is ignorant. Because he's covered by ignorance, he has no qualification to see the Lord. That's how Prabhupada here quotes, Om Gyan Timurandasya. Jiva's eyes are covered by very deep darkness. Timurandasya. Ajnana. But there is the possibility of removing the ignorance. Opening the eyes and giving them proper vision. How? By knowledge. Ignorance is the cause of our blindness and we cannot see the Lord. Knowledge is the opposite. So we get knowledge, then we can see the Lord. So therefore it says Gana Salakaya. A salaka is a little stick. We get the knowledge in the form of an anjana. Anjana means ointment. Like when you have infection on your skin, and you have to put ointment on it, and rub it, and stick a band-aid on it, and then it helps cure it. So we have ointment for the eye, for the blindness of the eye. Like cataracts or something, you put this ointment on it, and then you can see. So this is the ointment of knowledge. Jnana Anjana. Ointment of knowledge. Applied to the little stick. And then you can see. Knowledge removes ignorance. So by this process, eyes become open and they can see properly. So in this particular verse, who gives the knowledge? Guru. So it is by his mercy that we get the knowledge by which we remove the ignorance, by which we're able to see the Lord. So though the Jiva is different from the Lord in that he is covered by ignorance, possibility is there that he can get his ignorance removed. How is it removed? By knowledge. How do we get the knowledge? Through devotees, through guru. Why not just knowledge? Just read a book and get the knowledge. So as we know, knowledge has several layers of meaning. It's deep, not just superficial. So real knowledge is not just memorizing something or taking a fact like you do in school. You memorize all the things in the book and then you write an exam and you just say the facts all over again. That is not real knowledge. So the scriptures are different. Yes, they are scriptures. But if we just memorize all the scriptures, that also is not very good. It's not real knowledge. We also have to understand the real meaning of the scriptures. But how do we get the real meaning of the scriptures? By devotion. When we don't have the devotion, we don't get the right meaning. How do we get the devotion? That we get through the guru, that we get through the devotees. If we don't have devotees, we'll have jnanis. If we don't get the devotion, then we can't see properly. We don't get the proper knowledge. So therefore, we have Bhagavatam, and then we have devotees to explain Bhagavatam. Then we get the knowledge. Devotees aren't there, then even the Bhagavatam will have the wrong meaning to it. So this is the process by which the jiva advances in the material world. Ultimately, the whole process, spiritual process, is to accept, realize, and then develop a relationship with the Supreme Lord through the process of bhakti. That is indicated here, of course, by Upadavata. You should all worship the Supreme Lord. That's the bhakti process. What does worship imply? Recognition of the position of the Supreme Lord, consequently, respect for that position, but not just out of fear or whatever, but because he is the friend, out of affection. So that becomes bhakti. So this verse actually nicely explains the whole process of bhakti, why we have to perform bhakti to the Supreme Lord, because of his proper position. And the Lord, of course, responds to the jiva very nicely. So if one is in the material world and simply subject to karma, the Lord, as Paramatma, acts, and he sees and witnesses and permits according to karma and doing all that. When a person becomes a devotee of the Lord, the Lord acts a little bit differently, not simply as the witness and the permitter, because he's dealing with a devotee. So the functions become a little bit different. Yes, the Lord knows. He is the witness still because he's witnessing the devotee. He understands the sincerity of the devotee. And therefore, he will make arrangements for the devotee so he can progress in bhakti. So in that sense, his anumanta position is not, it's not karma that he arranges for the jivas. He makes arrangements for the devotee and their devotional progress. Sometimes he may give material facilities. Sometimes he may take away the material facilities. And this has got nothing to do with karma. So very good karma, you can be very rich. If the Lord wants, he'll take everything away in spite of your karma, and then you're left with nothing. You surrender to the Lord. So for the devotee, the Lord does not permit in the same way. His anumanta function differs. He's acting only for the surrender of the jiva to him, what is beneficial for his devotional progress. Therefore, the Lord functions differently. The Lord who functions in that way is called Bhagavan. The word Bhagavan is analyzed by Jiva Goswami as meaning Ba, Ga, and Va. Bhagavan. Ba meaning Bharta. Bharta means one who nourishes the devotion of the devotee. He supports that devotion. He helps them progress in his devotion. Ga stands for Gamayata, one who produces results for the Jiva. Makes him go to Vaikuntha or the spiritual world, gives him wonderful qualities, gives him a spiritual body. Gamayata. Va. That means vas, to live. So, who lives? The devotees live in the Lord. That means the Lord is always thinking of the devotees in his mind. And the Lord is in the devotees. The devotees are always thinking of the Lord. So therefore, Bhagavan is an expression of the Lord with his devotional sentiments, not just anumanta and upadrasta, witness and permitter and doing karma and all that. No. Yeah, he is looking after the devotional progress of the devotees in the material world and in the spiritual world. He is nourishing and constantly increasing the variety of affection and devotion and bliss. So therefore, the Lord acts a little bit differently in the spiritual world. So therefore, in the spiritual world, we can't apply that the devotee cannot see him. Yes, the devotee can see him in the spiritual world. Of course, even then, if the Lord wants to disappear, he can disappear. So therefore, Krishna left Vrindavan when he's 12 years old, didn't come back. That says if he wants, he can also disappear and you cannot see him. However, and then Uddhava came back, and then the teaching of Uddhava is, it looks like the Lord is gone, but if you internally concentrate, then he'll appear again. So even if he's gone, he'll manifest himself to the devotee who has pure bhakti. So then you can see him again. So therefore, the Lord lives in the devotees. The devotees, if they think of him, then they can realize him at all times. Well, you can do that, provided you recognize that the Devata is only a servant of the Lord, not equal to him. He's not a separate God. So that's permitted. And therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, it says, those who worship the Devatas to get results, and they go to Svargaloka, and then they fall down, that is avidipurvakam. It's the wrong worship of the Devatas. You're thinking that Devata is giving this result, not the Supreme Lord. If we see the Devata, but we recognize the Lord is superior and the Lord is giving him the power, and we worship the Lord first and then the Devata, then there's no problem with that. But we have to recognize the superiority of the Supreme Lord. We worship the Devatas as servants of the Lord, as devotees of the Lord.